Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today we are talking about parents and sports. And I'm actually recording this right before I go to my kiddos' soccer game. So I don't know if you have kiddos who are in sports, if you do, this one's for you, but maybe you sat on the sideline. Maybe you are that person on the sideline that you think, wow, they are getting crazy after this game. And I'm going to say, I do love to talk. I do love to talk at games, but I really have to make sure that I am not the parent who gets so riled up about something I do not need to get riled up about. We talk about encouragement for our kids, why sports are super important, but how to make sure they're healthy for your kids. I'm talking with Smith Gutterman today. He is a coach at Baylor for the women's intramural soccer team, and then he also coaches his kids. So he has this really great knowledge of coaching kiddos, like our kids who are young, and then understanding also what it's like with these college athletes when they have been pressured, when they have had too much pressure in their life, it has not been healthy, how that can affect them. So I loved this episode. I've been wanting to do this for a while because as many of us, we see the craziness sometimes on the sidelines and we think, wow, this is too much. So I think you'll enjoy this, and I think it'll just give you some tips. Even if you're not the crazy parent on the sideline, it'll give you some great tips of how to encourage our kids in the things that they love, help them find fun. It's okay to be driven and to win, but at the same time, how to be healthy about it. So listen in to my conversation with Smith. Hey, Smith, thanks so much for joining us on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. We are talking today about one of my favorite things, sports. And then how, as parents, can we not be crazy when it comes to sports? So all of our listeners who have kids in sports know what this is like if they've been on the sidelines and they hear the craziness of parents. So today, Smith, I can't wait to have you as a friend and also a coach of little ones, but also college kids, kind of just help inform us and just educate us on how to love our kids well when it comes to the whole sporting situation. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. And I guess just so anybody listening to this understands where I come from, I have an eighth grader who I have been coaching in sports since he was three or whatever the ages we all decide
at like our kids should 3 months old. We're like, oh yeah, they're yeah. ready. They're so yeah. ready.
Yeah. And then I have a fifth grader who I've been coaching for as long as he's been alive. So I've been coaching youth sports for a long time. And I've had the opportunity to have a lot of other people's kids coming in out of my life because of that experience with those boys. But then also I coach at the other end of the spectrum. I coach a college club soccer team, and it's a women's college club soccer team. And maybe for those that don't know, at a lot of colleges and universities, there are the scholarship teams, what I'd call the varsity teams, the teams that you see playing on TV or have the financial backing of the university. And then there's that one step below them, and they are the club teams. So they're the students, or they're the kids that are super passionate, but they are playing at the club level for, and I've been doing it for 5 years, and I've heard every number of reasons why they're playing club level and not scholarship. And it's really a bigger deal than I ever anticipated. I mean, my club team, we go to nationals We have regionals. We're traveling. LSU is coming in this weekend to play us on Saturday. So I've had the opportunity with younger kids all the way to, you know, to college. And so I've kind of seen both ends.
Types of probably parents and also kiddos. I want you to take us back a little bit and tell me kind of your intro to sports. What made you love sports? And I'm a sports girl, as you know, most people know who listen, played all the sports growing up and then also used to coach basketball and loved it. So this will be a fun conversation, but tell me how you kind of started in your sporting world.
I think it's like a lot of people. I played, Little League baseball, and I enjoyed it. I was a big baseball player all the way until my senior year of high school when I quit.
Your senior year. Were your parents excited about that?
Not particularly, because my mom in particular was a really big baseball fan. My dad coached me for several years when I was a Little League baseball player, but I got to the point in high school, I went to a small private school, and we only had basketball. We didn't have football. And so we played basketball year round. We had baseball and some of the other sports, but because we didn't have football, we were able to play basketball all the time or do off season for basketball all the time. And so that's really in junior high when I stepped into that kind of age where it was like, oh, okay, like this is actually something I could do year round, something that I love. I kept playing baseball until my senior year of high school. And when I finally decided, I just wanted to play basketball because it was just, honestly, it was more exciting. Baseball practices were so boring for a 16, 17 year old
boy. For the parents, like when Holden, so we, you know, you put all your kids in all the sporty things. And the one sport that I was like, please, dear Lord, do not pick is baseball, because you're just sitting there for so many hours. So when he said, I don't think I want to do baseball, I was like, oh, okay, buddy, no big deal. I was like, yes.
Yeah. My wife, Kristen, and I always joke around that we love football, basketball, and soccer because there's a start and end point. The clock runs out on all of those sports. But with baseball, you're going into extra innings and innings on top of those extra innings, and it's tough. But I will say it is a sport that I keep up with, you know, not really that much anymore, but having that experience has given me a language to, as an adult now, talk to other parents about maybe their baseball parents. And so I'm glad I played it. I'm glad I have that experience, but I'm also very thankful that my kids
kids. So tell me, so you played sports and now you're coaching your kiddos and also coaching college athletes. Have you seen a difference in the way parents engage in sports since we've been kiddos and now that you're coaching? What's the difference?
I mean, everything that could be different is different. And what's interesting is seeing it from both perspectives at the same time, little kids and then also college age students or players. When we were growing up playing sports, we Christy, you were the best one on your basketball team. Everybody knew that. And there was no question about that. But there was never, ever this idea of like, well, she's the best one, but also I could go and get a scholarship too if I do, you know, X, Y, and Z. It was always just kind of, hey, we know one person from one town over that's a star. And when they come to the gym, they're going to drop 40 points on us. Right. And that's going to be it. But now it's, every kid is a star. Every kid has a chance to be, at least that's what parents think now. Every kid has the chance to be a scholarship athlete. And what's interesting is seeing the creep of social media in this with my junior high son, Baker, seeing people that are at that age and even younger, they pop up in my Instagram suggested feeds. Here's, you know, a fifth grader or a sixth grader who's got his own soccer or his own football
YouTube channel and all the things. Yep.
Yes. And it's just trying to wrap my head around it compared to when we were growing up. And really the numbers have not, if you look at the NCAA Division I and Division II numbers, the statistics do not bear out in favor of the change. And so I think that's really the big thing.
Well, I would say that the big difference for me is the pressure. So I did not have any pressure. I mean, now I will say that my parents weren't like the sportiest parents. My mom used to read a book when I wasn't in the game, and then she'd close it when I came in. I mean, so she wasn't the most she's a little different than me, where I'm on like the sidelines or I'm coaching or doing something, but there was just no pressure. And you played all the sports. I played volleyball, basketball, you know, track. There wasn't, you didn't have to specialize. I didn't have to take extra lessons. Like, tell me about the pressure that kiddos are facing right now and what parents are, and parents, honestly, feeling the pressure of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I see, even on Harry, my fifth grader's rec league soccer team, we've had kids come from the academy or competitive or travel team world and just drop back down to rec league because the kid did not like traveling. The kid didn't like the pressure. And some of it works. Some kids, that works great. They love to travel. They love going to the Waxahachie field or parking lot or whatever it is. But then there are a lot of kids that I think that are being put in situations where maybe the parent is trying to keep up with some other parents and the kid is kind of being used as a chess piece in that keeping up with the Joneses type game. And it takes a while for those parents to figure out, actually, this isn't working for my kid, if it's ever figured out. And I will just tell you from the college side, with my experience, I've got girls that are on my team here at Baylor that have come to me and have said, you know, I played with certain clubs out of Dallas that will remain nameless because I've got like five or six of them. But, you know, they are coming from certain clubs out of Dallas and they quit for a year because their coach was just on top of them all of the time about mistakes they were making in practice. Or if they made a mistake in a game, it would be a month before they saw any playing time again. Or the pressure of even just the coach coming and saying something to the player about her weight. And then on the other side of it is parents struggling with, actually, you know, we invested all this money in you. We expect you to get some sort of scholarship. Everybody around you has gotten scholarships. Why haven't you gotten that scholarship? And I had a player just graduate last year that had that exact experience, where everybody that she was playing with on her club team got some level of athletic scholarship except her. And it just, that's just sometimes the way it goes, Christy. You know what I mean? And how do you say that to a parent who's determined?
Right. And how do you make that not so devastating that it's not their identity? You know, I think a lot of times our kids, and this is what I'm trying so hard with my kids, because we love sports. I mean, my kids are on the travel teams and I'm competitive. And I mean, we ask every year, we kind of go through this, like, are you sure you want to do this? You don't have to do this. What feels good to you? I mean, and you do put all this time and this energy and all the things, but we're trying, especially Carter May, because she's my driven, like, oh man, she's so driven. You never need to tell her to work hard. You actually need to tell her to like not work as hard because she's so driven. But try to, like, how do you help those kids realize that this is not their identity? I have a friend who always says, like, there will be a last game, no matter if you are on the Olympic team or you go as high as the highest level, there will always be a last game. So how do we help as parents our kids have fun in sports? It's, you know, I love the team aspect. I honestly think that's why I love team right now and just the job that I have so much. And I love that culture is because I was a team player in sports. There's so many wonderful things. I love it so much. But how do we help our kids not gain their identity in their sport? And then how do we help ourselves as parents realize it's just a game?
I think that it starts with your second question. I think that our kids are helped by us when we ask ourselves, you know, are we putting everything on this kid because we want to compete or keep up with that one family who's really cool and they are all really good at basketball and they are all really popular? Are we putting it all on our kids, that expectation, because we want to keep up with them? But really, I think it's actually even the answer to that question goes beyond that. It's another question of, do you realize that you are beloved with or without the success of sports or your job? Or it's a deeply rooted question that I think a lot of adults at our age, 40s to 60s, whatever, however old you want to say that age range, just have never really had to wrestle with and never had to ask themselves. And I think if a parent is willing to say to themselves, do I understand my identity is not wrapped up in the success or failure of my son or daughter? I think that's where we start with that healthy conversation, because only when a parent learns that can we then teach that to our own kids. Because how can you teach a kid something you don't really believe yourself?
Hey everyone, as parents, we are always looking for quality tools and resources to help our kids develop a relationship with the Lord. This is why Christian Parenting is so excited to get your hands on a new devotional journal made just for kids ages 6 to 12 called My Time with God. Your kids will use this colorful and fun devotional to read scripture, engage in creative activities, deepen their prayer life, and learn the benefits of spending time with God every day. Over 20 days, your kids will gain a solid understanding of Christian principles like what is prayer, why spend time with God, who is the Holy Spirit, and more. We all want our kids to grow up with a desire to spend time with God and be in His Word every day, but we also know that being consistent can be really difficult. So don't miss out on this opportunity to help growing believers learn how to connect more deeply with God. For more information and to get a copy of My Time with God for your kids, head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. Funny that you said, I'll start with the second question first, because it's always every single guest that I have on here, when I say, how do we do this for our kids? It's always the parent first. It's always the parent first and foremost. And we both love an author, Henry Nouwen, who I think has trained, like guided me so much in that you are beloved. And I think for driven personalities like ours, people who love to compete, we love to win. there's nothing wrong with that. I always tell my daughter, I'm like, sis, it's okay if you are mad that you lost. Like, I get that 100%, but you can be mad about it, but it's not your worth. It's not your identity. That one game you played horrible in is not who you are as a person. And I think it's just constantly reminding them, you know, of that as well. There's a person I follow on Instagram. And one of the things that I love that she said, instead of saying you did this right or you did this wrong after every game, which we tend to do, we tend to critique our kids on every little thing. She just said, I loved watching you play today. I loved watching you play, or I loved a character trait.
Makes all
instead of I loved, you know, seeing this, and this, or actually you didn't do this well, and the big critiques. We used to have this in our car, and I'm like, my kids cannot handle that. Like, it's just, I loved watching you play today, period. Done.
It's been a really interesting experience for myself and Harry, who's our fifth grader, because he is as competitive and passionate as any fifth grader I've ever met. And he is pretty good at soccer. I don't think he's great, the best one in the world or whatever, but he's pretty good at soccer. And so it's something he really cares about. And I've always been his coach, except for a few times when he's gone to camps or guested with other teams or whatever. And it's been interesting as his dad walking with him. And I think that's another key part of this, Christy, is I think so many times parents think, okay, well, I drop them off at practice and then I pick them up and that's kind of the process. But really, whether you're their coach or not, we're walking with, alongside our kids in sports. And walking with Harry, it's been interesting because having to like balance that dynamic of, okay, he didn't play well today, but it's not going to help him if I get in the car as his coach and start saying, hey, X, Y, and Z. Instead, it's, hey, it was hot today, or hey, it was fun today. That was a good shot. And then maybe later he's able to say, hey, you know, I didn't have a great practice today. And then I can say, you know, you really didn't. Wonder why is that? What can we do to help those kind of situations? And that's really, I think, something that I've learned is the walking with rather than even behind or in front of. You've really got to take their hand and walk with them. Otherwise, you're just kind of leaving them out to the world. And I'm not trying to be alarmist, but we know not all of the adults in youth sports are in youth sports for the best interests of our kids. And so we just have to make sure we are as engaged as possible, because I've seen both sides of hyper engaged, so much pressure. And then I'm sure you've also seen those parents that do drop off their kids, never talk to them about sports. Their kids never get better at sports. They start to pull away from sports, and then it becomes a bigger issue socially or culturally or whatever. And so we've got to find that middle ground, I think, as parents. And that's really what we've missed. And quite frankly, I think that's something that we as a church body miss. We're so often like, you've either got to compete or you've got to turn the other cheek. And it's like, well, actually, there's a middle road there that we can find.
So for those of us who love the sports, who are parents, who love to maybe sit on the sidelines and maybe yell too much. So I can't even help it. So we were at a volleyball game. And I'm going to tell you right now, for those of you who have kids in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade volleyball, well, fourth and fifth for sure, it is one of the most painful experiences that a competitive mom sitting there who played will ever experience. I mean, it's just so, so painful. So I was sitting by a lady the other day, and I'm a coach at heart. And so I try. I'm like, I want to be quiet. I can't do it. And I'm not yelling. I'm not saying anything bad. It's just, I love, that's how I do. I love to talk. But we joke that Grant is now my son's coach, and he's coached forever too. But what we had to do with Holden is because Holden does not love people to talk to him during the game. So Carter Mae does. She loves to motivate it. She loves some motivation. So she's great with that. Holden does not. He does not want you to talk to him. That is very stressful. So we had a rule with Grant, because he also can't stop talking. He has to go literally, like, he can't stand on the sidelines. He has to go to the fence. Like, he would have to go like 20 feet to the fence so that he couldn't hear him. So he couldn't, you know, even if he had to say something. And it was all motivating things, but that's so stressful to Holden. It is so stressful to him. Mm-hmm. So knowing our kids, I think, is a big thing. If they love the sport, but they're like, hey, I do not want this extra pressure. That is, thank you so much, but no. What advice would you give to parents whose kids love sports, but we want it to be a healthy love, not an identity issue? It can be fun and competitive, but what advice would you give as a coach when you see those crazy parents on the sidelines? What would your advice be to them to help their kids engage and love sports, but not make it feel like crazy town?
Anybody that is listening to this that knows me probably is laughing right now that you asked that question. And then maybe even laughing that I'm even doing this podcast, because I'm right there with you. In fact, last weekend, I yelled more than I've ever yelled in my life, because it's been a frustrating season with my fifth grade soccer team. And I coached in a way I never have coached before, and really got onto them and yelled at them. And then even fast forward to, let's say, basketball season, and I'm yelling at the referee. I don't do it every game. It's not that kind of situation, but all of us do it. Those of us that are engaged and that care, it happens. And the thing that I have learned, going back to Henry now, and his whole thing is he wants to make himself vulnerable to others so that people can feel safe and comfortable to come to know Christ and make themselves available to Christ. And so I really had to learn, Christy, after this last weekend, when I was yelling at my kids on the soccer field, I had to turn around, humble myself, make myself vulnerable, and go to the parents and just say, that was unacceptable. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. It would never happen again, at least to that level. And I know it's not productive. And really go hat in hand and apologize to them and make myself vulnerable in that moment. And I think that's part of it, is the recognition of, okay, I've got to pull it back. I've got to be open to hearing my wife say to me, hey, you got to cut it out. You've got to be open to your husband saying, hey, you got to bring it back. And I think a lot of times we think, oh, well, we're just being competitive. But the reality is a lot different than that. And we've got to make ourselves, we've got to allow ourselves to be vulnerable so we can hear that feedback and then respond to it accordingly. And the other thing is, just from the coaching standpoint, just taking out the you know, philosophical, you got to know the sport. I mean, that's really what it is. You've got to know the sport. And it makes a world of difference for your kid if you know what they're doing out there. And I mean that as sincerely as possible. If it's something like volleyball that you've never even watched a second of, or for me in my world, it's soccer, which is such a foreign concept to so many, as you are aware. Learning the offside rule.
No one's ever going to learn. Let's just do something else, because the offside.
But some of the basic stuff, right, of what we're trying to do, what your son in his role as a defender, how it's different than a person that's trying to score goals. and then being able to get in the car and say, you did a great job. You played your role exactly the way you're supposed to, because not everybody gets to score a goal in soccer, just like not everybody is going to score 25 points in a basketball game. But that doesn't mean your son or daughter didn't just play the best defense on the court, and it needs to be acknowledged. And so really, from a coaching standpoint, that's the thing that I wish more and more parents would hear, is take the time to learn the sport. And then if it's a sport that your son or daughter is playing, watch the
that's
sport
good.
With them. You wouldn't believe.
Well, I think it's just the whole concept of being interested in what your kids are interested in. I mean, it could be sports. Right. It could be, I mean, Holden loves a good Xbox game. That is such a waste of time. You're wasting your life away. But when I go up there and watch his game with him or ask him the questions, he loves that. That is so painful to me to have to go do that. But it is time with him. And it actually is some of my favorite time, because then afterwards he's talking to me about it, or he's, you know, telling me about it. So I think your point is just be interested in what your kids are interested in. If they're interested in sports and you are not a sporty person, you know, just figure out enough that you can talk about it. And so it just shows that you care about that, for sure. Is there anything else that you would say as a coach, as you're kind of watching your college athletes, what they've gone through, you know? And I think you get a great perspective because you're seeing these college athletes and going, okay, I'm not going to parent like that. I'm not going to coach like that. What is some advice at the end of our podcast time that you would say to parents as you've kind of seen the trajectory of how you would do things different and how you would encourage us to do things maybe different?
Wow, what a question. I think the thing that I talk to my girls about all the time is realizing who they are as a created being from the Creator. We are in a sporting world where so many have been put through academies or clubs. I've got girls that were recruited to go play D1, but couldn't because they blew up their ACL their senior season. And so they lost all of that. And so now they're really struggling with who am I? But then I've also got players that are struggling with, what do I do? This has been my whole thing my whole life, and I'm coming to the end of it, or I was never good enough. And so really the thing I try to get across to them is, you are not average. God did not make and does not make anything or anyone average. And so when you think about your favorite things or favorite places in the world, and think about the fact that God created those things, think about how much more time he spent creating you. And when you start to take a step back from the sporting world and realize, I am a reflection of my Creator, that really on its own, if we can pour into our kids as an image of the reflection of God, if we can pour into them that way first, and then the sports thing second, that really sets them up, whether they end up going D1 or going pro or whatever it is, really getting them to understand, hey, this is who you are, and all of the other stuff is just kind of part of it. But it doesn't take away that you are an image of God.
I think that I agree with you. I think that's first and foremost. The other stuff is just the extra part that we need to do. Last question: how has coaching impacted you as a person?
Oh, it's changed me in immeasurable ways. It's humbled me. It humbles me every time I go to practice. It humbles me every season. I think, honestly, just on a practical level, I watch sports better. I appreciate the stuff that is happening off the field that coaches are going through that you don't really know about, and you don't really hear about except through rumor. I kind of appreciate how hard it is to navigate relationships and see success on the field. But personally, Christy, I would just tell you that I having this opportunity to have, whether it's 18 to 22 year old or 10 to 12 year olds, these are people's kids. And someone somewhere, whatever their relationship, has entrusted me for a season, literally, or two or whatever, to kind of walk with them through this process. And it's changed me because it's helped open and broaden my horizon to where people are coming from, how people are. And, you know, again, it goes back to that we're all a reflection of God's creation. And it has really been a humbling experience and something that really, I think, has made me someone that is more open to love. It sounds so corny, but I think we kind of get in our bubbles. And I think it's really helped me be like, this kid is so different than my kid, but man, I love this kid. You know what I mean? And I think that's really what it means. I think it's just helped me be a lot less self-conscious in who I give my love to.
I think also it's, you know, coaches mean everything to kiddos. Kiddos who, you know, when I was coaching, have broken home lives, who have really hard circumstances, and the one person who believes in them is their coach. I mean, it makes a ton of difference. So I appreciate you giving your time, and thank you so much for coaching, and to the point of helping our kids be reflections of him. I love that. I think one of the things we're trying to do with Carter May too is saying, yes, you can be one of the better athletes, but what are the character traits that you're having an impact on the floor? Are you motivating your team? Are you inspiring your team? Are you encouraging? Who'd you encourage when you got off the court today? You know, all those different things that our leadership, if our kids are leaders on the court, we're getting to share with them. I feel like it's a leadership lesson every time I talk to her, because I say, okay, who did you get to inspire? Even though that person maybe didn't do the best, or maybe you didn't do the best, how are we getting through this? It's the grit and the perseverance and the encouragement. So I love sports so much. I thank you for this conversation of helping us as parents not be crazy and be healthy sports parents, because we all need it. Every single one of us, us two included, who are actually having this chat.
Yes.
I always joke that I actually do this podcast on the topics that I need the most help with. So everybody knows that. So just being vulnerable. Yeah. So thanks so much, Smith, for doing what you do, and thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Smith. I hope you got something out of it like I did. And I hope maybe our Be Love quick tip today is just when you go to your kiddo's sports games, that you are just cognizant of how it affects them, the way that we react. One of the things that I will continue to say to my kids, as much as I love competition, as much as I love to win, all the things, I can't take that out of my heart. I can't take that out of my kids' heart, and that's okay. But one of the things I think is really important is the phrase that I say to them, instead of going through all the things that they did great or all the things they could have done better, is just, hey, buddy, I loved watching you play today. So maybe adopt that this week and see how it goes. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Thanks for being love and doing good in your family, in your community, and on your sports fields. Have a great one.